Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Putting a price tag on the war.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. How much is America paying for the war in Iraq? The Senate is expected to vote on the Defense Appropriations Bill today. Right now, the cost is $468.4 billion. Both the Senate and House versions of the bill include another $50 billion in emergency funding. The Senate added $13 billion on top of that in new emergency spending for military equipment. All these figures make you wonder what the bottom line is in the war on terror. Marketplace's Hillary Riquet takes a look.
The Congressional Research Service estimates Congress has appropriated about $440 billion so far for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But the Congressional Budget Office says it's $433 billion. The Government Accountability Office counted $3 billion less than that, and the Department of Defense comes in with the lowest total, about $417 billion. Stephen Koziak at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessment says the truth is in there somewhere.
If you're going to make the right kinds of policy choices, obviously you need to know what the costs and benefits of those policy choices are.
Why the more than $20 billion difference between the four conclusions? For starters, there's some debate over what to count. But Winslow Wheeler with the Center for Defense Information says it's even more problematic than that.
Both the Government Accountability Office and the Congressional Research Service found $7 billion that DOD, quote, lost oversight of. In other words, the money's gone, but nobody has any clue what happened to it.
Republican Congressman Chris Shays wrote to the House and Senate Appropriations Committees pointing out the discrepancies in the war cost reports. He hasn't heard back. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
More troubles for Airbus. BAE, Britain's largest defense company, is bailing out. The company is selling its stake in the European plane manufacturer. It wants to make more acquisitions here in the U.S. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
BAE intends to sell its 20% share in Airbus to the Franco-German parent company that owns the remaining 80%. BAE is disappointed with the price, $3.5 billion. That's half what analysts said the stake was worth earlier this year, before Airbus announced further problems with its new double-decker super jumbo. Nevertheless, BAE's boss, Mike Turner, says now is the right time to get out of Airbus. Life's getting much tougher for the European plane maker, he says, for two reasons.
The fact it's got to find money to invest in the new family of aircraft, and the fact that Boeing has really re-entered the market over the last two or three years with a vengeance and with a very good product.
If BAE shareholders approve the sale, the company will use the proceeds to buy more defense contractors in the U.S. Currently, the Pentagon's seventh largest supplier, BAE is trying to propel itself into the top five. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The National Center for Public Policy and Higher Education is out with a report card today. It gives most states failing grades when it comes to making college affordable. 43 receive Fs. The grade is based on how much of the average family's income it costs to go to college. Stagflation's concerns caused the market to retreat a bit yesterday. The Dow was off 63 points to 11,406. The Nasdaq slid 37 points to 2167. And the S&P fell 12 points to 1300. This is Marketplace. Bambi broccoli? How about Cinderella celery? Could be. Disney's getting involved in the push to make vegetables more attractive to kids. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli spills the beans.
A whole generation of moms may not have to nag their kids to eat their peas. A new deal between Disney and produce distributor Imagination Farms will slap images of cartoon characters on fruit and vegetable packaging. Toy expert Chris Burns says it might make lima beans more alluring.
We've increasingly got kids in the grocery cart as young as two pointing to things saying, I want that. The idea of familiar characters can definitely influence a child's desire to have something.
Whether that means they'll eat them is another story. Expect to see 100 Disney-branded items in your store's fruit and vegetable section by January. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Attacks by terrorists don't have to involve explosives. The government is also concerned about bioterrorism, so it's planning to open a new biodetection lab in California. That lab would design systems to warn the public about the release of potentially deadly pathogens. That may sound like a good idea, but not everyone who lives near the proposed facility is happy about it. Some neighbors are worried the government hasn't done enough to resolve safety issues. Shia Levitt has more on that story from Livermore, California.
Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories hopes to begin work this fall to improve detection and warning systems to notify the public of possible bioterror attacks. It will be Livermore's first biosafety level 3 lab, says spokesman Steve Wampler.
The Department of Homeland Security said Livermore's BSL-3 facility will significantly improve the nation's ability to detect and respond to the threat of bioterrorism. All we're asking is for our scientists to be given the tools they need to do the job.
Among the potential tools, small test samples of deadly diseases like anthrax and the plague. Homeland Security says there's little chance of the pathogens escaping. The agency exceeded standards required by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, spending an additional $700,000 on safety features. The extra precautions include a vaporized hydrogen peroxide decontamination system and extra air filtration devices called HEPA filters, which block most particulate matter.
We can operate this facility in a safe, secure, and efficient manner.
Still, residents nearby worry that the release of even a few ounces of pathogens could endanger thousands of lives. Martha Prebot lives in a community adjacent to Livermore. She says extra HEPA filters don't dispel her concerns.
Having been a chemist myself, I know that accidents happen no matter how careful you are. Over the years, the HEPA filters have been cracked, have been damaged. There have been numerous cases where the HEPA filters totally failed.
About 100,000 people live in the Livermore Valley, which generates nearly $40 million in agricultural products annually, including nuts, wines, and livestock. Prebot says past accidents released radioactive materials into her neighborhood, and she's nervous about her daughter and grandchildren who live nearby.
There's definitely a need for the work that the BSL-3 lab does to protect us from terrorism. But I just really don't like the idea of it being in a heavily populated area like Livermore.
In 2005, several residents and environmental groups launched a lawsuit to force the Department of Energy to re-examine key safety concerns like the lab's vulnerability to earthquakes, fire, and terrorist attacks. Stephen Volker represents the plaintiffs.
The federal government is funding homeland safety measures to the tune of several billion dollars annually. We are concerned that poorly designed and ill-disclosed efforts could result in substantial breaches of security.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals heard arguments for the case in June. The lab is currently scheduled to open sometime this fall. In Livermore, California, I'm Shia Levitt for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
For decades, India's best and brightest.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.